I want us then, beloved, to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance and incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'd like to go on reading. But as I said, we shall probably be dealing with these things as the days go by and we can gather together again. So are we, dear. We just prayed, and that's the best part of it, I think. Always get in early, in case you miss something. If you can, I know. I'm not a working man any longer. Let's come then to this glorious bit. I don't know whether I shall get as far as what we read together this morning. You do know, of course, that Peter was the great Peter, the Apostle Peter, but he was selected, chosen, whatever you will, by God, Jesus Christ, that is, to be the apostle to the Jews, you will remember. And you don't have to buy any books about this. If you just read, and I commend it to you, you'd be surprised how many times I've read through the New Testament. You keep on. It's only as you keep on that you learn. And you will have read, I may say, in the Galatian letter that Paul and Peter met at last, and it was decided in the company of the other apostles that Peter should go to the Jews and that Paul should go to the Gentiles. Yet, knowing we're all Gentiles in this room, I want to say, at least I think we are, I want to say, nevertheless, you belong to Israel. Did you know that? Everybody's getting concerned today about Israel and Israel, the nation. But you have to understand that you who are born again of God are his chosen race. You understand that? You have become an Israelite in spirit. Israel meaning power with God. As a prince, thou hast power with God. That's what God told Joseph, Jacob in the beginning, when he met him at the brook and put his thigh out of joint. You know, lame as I am, I take the prey. You remember that wonderful verse in hymns that seem to disappear from our singing these days. I would restore them tenfold if I could. But there you are. The whole position is that we are called Israel of God. And God has had this, shall I say, hidden at last. First, it's not seen as you read the scripture. But as you go on, you find it very clearly written of God. And just turn to the Galatians to verify these things. That we are in verse 16 of the last chapter of Galatians, chapter 6, Galatians, verse 16 tells you quite plainly now, of as many as walk according to this rule, not the Ten Commandments particularly, that you are belong to these people called the Israel of God. Wonderful, isn't it? Just bear that in mind when there's so much emphasis on the nation of Israel. Really, it's the Jews. But Israel covers a whole large new sphere. If you want further verification for that, I want to put you into this place, and you say, well, perhaps you may say anyway, why is he drawing our attention to that? Because it's very important for us to understand. And if you go into the Roman letter, I won't point you to it. I'll let you read the letter through for yourself. It's quite easy to do that before Sunday anyway. It's so wonderful that once you're born of God, all right, you are born into the spiritual Israel of God, and you have to walk according to the rule. You're not allowed to do what you want unless your wants and desires and all of you are in line with God's. All right? So very, very important. No. Well, when you get this firmly fixed in your mind, you will begin to understand Peter. Go back, or these things you ought to know about Peter. I mean, we all understand he was a fisherman. We all understand all the things. He got the man with the first revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and so on and so on. But he differs greatly from Paul's. You understand that? They don't differ on fundamental truth. But Peter was a man whose sphere was confined, literally, to the Jews only. And that's how Paul started before he got enlightenment from God. He preached the gospel to none but the Jews only. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, and you will find that. But when the Jews refused to listen to him and blasphemed God, he turned from them. He said, I will go unto the Gentiles. Therefore, if you want to sort of think of it this way, the man that was raised up of God to lay down the law, I mean Christian spiritual law, for the Christian church, is Paul. He's the one. He is your example. If you want to know, you say, well, my example is Jesus Christ. And that is to a certain extent is true. But you cannot be, while you're in the flesh, as a person in the flesh, absolutely like Jesus Christ. He was born without sin. You understand that? But you can be like Paul. And he writes to Timothy along this line too. Paul, he says that he was chosen of God to be the example. You should read Timothy again. I'm expecting you to be Bible readers, you see. You shouldn't put off Bible, knowledge of the Bible, to a Bible class in the middle of the week. If you do that, you will finish up quite ignorant of what the scripture does say. And what a wonderful truth it is. So, Paul was the example. Don't ever try and follow Peter. I mean, some of you have heard me say this before, I'm sure. Jesus had an awful trouble with Peter. Once he called him the devil. He said, get behind me, Satan. How would you like that? Did Jesus call a man, an apostle, that? Yes. Oh, so don't set anything by titles. It's the life that counts. You understand that? Well, thank God I've been privileged to tell you, and you remember that. But you can always check it out by reading scriptures. And here is the great, wonderful truth. This man, Peter, you will find as we together, I hope, go through this letter, we shall find that he says much more as though of the Jewish things. He talks about them. He was called to the Jews, and Paul had to once rebuke him sharply that he trespassed beyond his call. Oh, I wish people took that to heart. Paul rebuked him sharply. I don't know what you're called to be, love. I don't really. I don't know what your calling is. Do you know, it might puzzle me to tell myself, what is this person's calling? What is their calling? Is it this? Is it that? Very, very important that we understand it. And when we're given something to do by God, you've got to stick to it. And if you don't, nothing else you say. You may say long prayers and like lovely hymns and I don't know what will get you nowhere. You've got to stop within the calling of God personally. If you're not a teacher, don't try and teach other people. If you're not a preacher, don't attempt to be a preacher. If you're not a miracle worker, well, don't attempt having to go and work in miracles. You stay within your calling, and someday you might be delighted to find that God has expanded it or extended it. But I'm not discussing it now. I'm not talking about the calling of God. You see how much time I waste, which I hope it hasn't been wasted. To get back to our reading, having put in this background about the man Peter, hadn't touched upon it really, you see, when we go through, and I hope you'll probably read, don't take long to read the first book of Peter, it's only got 5 chapters in it. You could read that before you go to work in the morning, provided you get up early enough. Here is the thing to follow on. Go back to the first verse that we read. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and should be Bithynia really, but we say it the way we've said it for years, Bithynia. Now there you have the whole thing. By the time he wrote this letter, he'd learned his lesson. And these strangers were undoubtedly those that had been persecuted that arose after Paul had Stephen slain. They left Jerusalem. So it was the first expansion of the early church was over the martyrdom of Stephen. They went everywhere. I didn't get this by reading books except these books. This is where you'll get it from. And so he wrote to Jews, primarily. They were now saved, but nationally, they were Jews. He did learn his lesson. I wish we all learned our lessons that Jesus taught him through Paul. Here, then, is the thing for us to see. And he was almost positively writing to Jews only. Paul said, I've quoted it once, Paul said himself that when he began, he only preached to the Jews. All right, then God dealt with him. Now, here's the thing. That sets the background for the whole of the book, because you'll find that it deals with many Jewish practices. I don't mean things where you got up and washed your elbows and all that kind of thing, which they used to do. You know, the Jews were horrible, really. They tied God up into... If you go shopping, for instance, you ladies, and I go shopping with a lady now and again, pushing a trolley round, you must come home before you eat and wash your hands, you see? That was the rule, was the law in Israel. Other times you could wash up to your elbows. And all kinds of things. Outward cleansing, you see, like the fanatical way we're all going bonkers. They have to have a shower every morning, a shower every night, and I don't know what. I was put in a wooden tub once a week. Here is the thing. For my mother and father were filthy, weren't they? You didn't mean to say you... Yeah, I've survived longer than any of you yet. Here is the thing to understand. I won't go further along that line, but this is the thing for you to see, beloved. And he says in verse 2, you are chosen. But listen, only the strangers, you see. Only the strangers, the scattered strangers. They weren't strangers to God, that way, that they were strangers. They went to the towns and villages everywhere else and got out of the persecutions that had arisen over the death of Stephen. Peter writes to them. They were, if I may say so, to use a modern word, his bailiwick. He'd learned his lesson, he stuck with them. And off he went. He said, you're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And there again, he's talking to Jews who knew the practices. They knew that nation, when God brought them out of the Gentile nation, the Egyptians, all right, they had to know their history of old. They had to know their history. Do you know yours? Your spiritual history. Your background, from whence have you come? Many people are saying they've been led to Christ, but when you listen to them and the things they've been taught, you realise they're not being taught properly. This is the thing. It's a terrible thing. I know there's at least one person in this room who used to go to a church where they said it's quite normal for you to sin. Quite normal. Yeah, in this room, person sitting. You see, you and I have to see the truth. Now, Israel, as you know, were chosen by God not through Moses. They were chosen through Abraham. Abraham was the father, the physical father, and of course, to a certain extent, the spiritual first father. And he's talking to these people. And that's what happened in Abraham's day. God moved in foreknowledge. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He told Abraham, didn't tell him why, he told Abraham to get out, go and live in a country that I'll show you. And he never told him, never produced a map and said, now this will be your area. Big thing to understand, especially people that are constantly pulling out maps about roads and everywhere else. And you know, these days, we get into people who sometimes say they'll be born with wheels instead of legs. That's the type of thing we're getting into. Oh, but it's modern. Yeah. Right. And he said, he started there with Abraham, and he said, you're going to be the father. The father started with the father. All right? You've read Abraham. If not, there's a book with green covers on that you can all have one each. Read it. I happen to know the author. But here is the thing for you to see. And away he went. In heaven, there's a father. Wonderful. So he started on earth with a father. When he was making his elections and selections on the earth. If I'm talking about things you don't know anything about, please put your hand up. But I hope it's all clear to you, and I'm hurrying to a large extent. The Lord may take me home before I get through the book. Here is the truth for us to see. And they also knew the further things. All the Jews would have known all these things. He wasn't talking in pie in the sky or things they knew nothing about. He said, you that are the true children of God, the Father, he said, you are chosen. Verse 2, verse 1. Now, if you are a true born-again Christian, you were chosen. Do you understand that? You mustn't say, well, we can go out and preach to the multitudes and say they can all come. But God chooses. You understand? It's a big thing for us to get into our hearts. I have to be very sure I'm chosen of God. I have to be very sure God has chosen for me to be sitting in this chair. And if you like, having the, well, I don't know what to say, the cheek to try and teach others. I've got to know I'm called to that. I haven't got to just get something off my chest and I've learned somewhere else, and though we always learn from others, of course, but here is the thing. You're elect, that is chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and see how you were chosen in the heart of God. And unless this is true in your experience, you are not one of this marvelous chosen race through sanctification of the Spirit. May I say that though we honour the blood of the Lord Jesus, the wonderful sacrifice he made, it doesn't say through the blood of Jesus. It says you are chosen in a certain state, not just to a certain thing that happened to you. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay, that made me one of God's children. Okay, but that's only something that happened to me when God washed all my sins away. You see, he said, you were chosen not to be a people of the blood. He doesn't say that. I'm saying it's not here. He says you are chosen in sanctification of the Spirit. That's the third person of the Trinity. In other words, the blood of the Lord Jesus and Jesus Christ himself who shed it are the way, if I said the blood and the Jesus to make the R, right, into this state of sanctification of the Spirit. Not just washed in the blood of the Lamb, if I died tonight I'm okay, kind of thing. No, you have to have. If the blood hadn't been shed, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have come. It's the same thing, but in general evangelical preaching, they preach as far as the clock cross, and the shedding of the blood, and the praise of the Lamb whom we honour now. Glory be to his name. They don't go on into this great sanctification of the Spirit. I think it's to be doubted if a person does not go on into sanctification of the Spirit. I doubt whether they're washed in the blood. Because that's what it was saying for. That's what it was for. In order that God might sanctify unto himself, as we're told lower down, he mentions it in verse 9 of chapter 2, a peculiar people. Peculiar in the sense, because there's nothing other like us upon the face of the earth. We're peculiar. Fancy you coming in here tonight. Why weren't you at home watching the television? That's what the world's doing. You understand? We are peculiar. Dry as dust, aren't we? Hallelujah. This is the great thing for us to grasp. You are a peculiar people, a chosen generation. I'll come on to that when we reach there, but I want you to see that it's all written here for a start. Because when I talk, as I've talked, I've already read this over and over and over again and entered into this. Here it is. Marvelous. And let's go on and get the rest of those words, shall we? A royal priesthood? What? The church? Listen, every one of you in this room, male or female, young or old, you are chosen by God to be a priest. So now we know why we don't need all this priesthood stuff with gowns and performances and all this thing only for a set people. We don't need it. There may be some jolly nice people among them. That's not what I'm arguing about, if argument is the word. Here is the great thing. You, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises, its virtues actually, of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And that is a comparison with Israel. Peter's the man to the Jews, all right? You will know that the ninth plague in Egypt was the plague of thick darkness. Thick darkness. But between the land that was occupied by Egypt, and Goshen, that's the land that was occupied by the Jews. Like a crate, you might drive along and all of a sudden you drive into a terrible storm. You find, what, the place is soaked here. Over there it's dry. Isn't that a drop of rain there? God did this. All right. That's why you get the preaching taken from darkness into light. It's God did these things beforehand in the physical nation of Israel. All right? Well, God left them long enough in Egypt so that when they came out, only 70 went down into Egypt. They came out by their multitudes. They multiplied in Egypt. They'd all multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. He brings them out later on. You will remember when he wrestled with Jacob at the brook, that's when he said this thing. And he started with Egypt, with him. It developed through them the great nation that it became, the tribes, the names of his sons, Jacob and all the rest of it. So marvellous. If you wonder where I got this all from, I didn't get it out of books. I wouldn't so insult God that I should read what somebody else said. I wanted to get it straight from God. That's what I wanted. Not that you can approach God and hold a pistol to his head. You've got to show it to me. I'm not going to bother to read anything because I've told you to read a green-covered book tonight. But you see, the whole thing, beloved, is this glorious revelation to you. And you're alive with the flame of it in your own heart. Because I can't sit still or preach. I have to go. Because it's burning in me. And you shouldn't listen to anybody else in whom it doesn't burn. They've discredited God. They've taken something from the grandeur of the revelation, absorbed it in their own human shortcomings. God can make of these stones, he can raise up children. That's what he said. Of course, have to be a great transformation, but it's what God does. All right, and you know that you were sanctified by the Spirit. Now, if you want to know, I suppose most of you do, but let me be very precise here. Sanctification means to make holy. Which means if I came into your house, I wouldn't see anything that is inconsistent with holiness. If I kept your company, I wouldn't find anything in your mouth, in your habits, in your ways of behaving that were not holy. Nothing. Because there's nothing unholy in your heart. Utterly purified by the precious Holy Ghost. Wherever the Holy Ghost dwells, he makes a holy home. Thank you for all of you who've been going down to the place where I'm going to live, God willing, in the future. Scrape the stuff off the floor, off the wall, but it's all being prepared for me. I'm a very honoured man, you know. I do pay tribute to Tony and his wife. Here is the thing for you to understand. Beloved, it's got to be that. And when you get into my home, which I may happen in the future, you'll all be welcome, but don't all come at once. Here is the thing, beloved. I trust you won't find anything unholy in my home. How marvelous it is. You and I have got to live so holily and before God that even our own children will forsake us if they don't want the holiness of God. Made you think now, haven't I? Especially you mothers. They'll either want what you've got or else they'll get out. How marvellous it is. Let's go on, shall we? Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ unto you. Grace and unto you and peace be multiplied. Sprinkling of the blood? Oh, yeah. So it started in Egypt. They had to kill the lamb, catch the blood, sprinkle it on the doorposts, and then they'd be very careful not to put it on the ground. The blood of Jesus Christ could not be trampled on. They could have it over their head. They could have it on either side of them. That's right. And then, when God at last had got them through the desert, you know how long they were there, 40 years, because of their disobedience, even though they could shout about the blood and shout about the blood and shout about the blood, shout about God's provisions, manna, water out of the rock, his guidance, his presence, the light of his presence in the wonderful cloud, pillar of cloud, turned to fire by night, kept the camp always warm. It must be nice to have been there. Wouldn't have to have down this and what are they, duvet things. Here is the thing. I like duvets, don't worry. Here's the thing. Beloved, to see the wonderful truth. They were never frozen in the wilderness. Could be very cold at night. Deserts can be very cold places at night. I understand. So he warmed the camp up. Pillar of fire spreading out into a cloud over here. Isn't it marvellous? I think I could have made a good Jew under those circumstances, but here are the great things for us to see, beloved. Now, you will know that this great sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, all right, on the doorposts and on the lintel over the top, had to be performed not by a priest when they were coming out of Egypt. the man, Aaron, who later became high priest of the nation by God's orders, he did it, but he only did it for his own family. So all you men in this room who have a family, or some of you perhaps maybe hoping you'll have family, some of us have got past it. But here's the big thing, beloved. They had to do it for their own children, their own wives. Did you know that? The man of the house had to sprinkle the blood, not a priest. Except this, they were in that instance, and you see how God weaves it into history, they were, became kings and priests unto God. Every man of the house. Thank God that there's so many women far in advance of their husbands. Alas, alas. That ought not to be. All right. And this is what it says in that chapter I read, verse 9. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. Actually, that word praises is virtues in the Greek. Show forth the virtues of him. We are not to be a people that come together on Sunday morning and pray. We have a praise meeting, beloved. It wasn't. Far from it. Far from it. The virtues is the word of him. I want to be there. I want my life not to show forth my virtue, but his virtue. For instance, I know lots of women, none now, of course, or I don't know anybody would do this today, but in my day I heard lots of people, mothers, tell their children, you've got to behave yourself or you won't go to heaven when you die. Mothers. You say, well, they meant well. But you don't get to heaven or to be with God because you mean well. That's the big thing for us to understand. It changes us. I've lost my place. Here is the great thing for us to get into our hearts, beloved. Real understanding, and I must say that my purpose tonight and every night, if we come together, is to set this forth so that we do understand what God is expecting of us. And unless we do take ourselves by the scruff of the neck sometimes and say, come on, you've got to go, the devil will have you down on the ground and trample you under feet. You've got to have some determination about your determination. And I want you all, beloved, every one of you, to be what God wants you to be. It doesn't matter if you've got an unsaved husband or vice versa, unsaved wife. I don't know if there's anybody like that here. I want you to be this, that, and go somewhere with them. You don't live for them. You live with them. You are an individual. And unless you learn to act as an individual bought by Christ's blood, saved by that, and unless you are an individual that is under the rule and guidance of the Holy Ghost, have no virtue. every goodness we possess belongs to Christ. There's a change of habits, a change of everything. I am not the same person I was before I was born again. I've changed. That's what's got to happen. This is what it's about. So those men, and coming back to this background of position, those men, each one as it was, the gentleman, the husband, better open the door, John, let a little cold air in, please. Yeah. Is it open? Open it wide and come and sit here. I can see eyes, it's beating everybody, beating their willpower or whatever. Here is the thing. You've got to be what God wants you to be. You tell yourself that every hour of the day, if necessary. All right. And remember, you're one of the chosen ones. I cannot for one minute understand why I, born, as I say, in the gutters of Bethnal Green, in which you can get no lower. You see, could be sitting in this chair tonight talking about these things. I know I'm chosen of God. I don't think I'm specially chosen above anybody. But you've got to know that you're chosen of God. You've got to know that you're one of the most privileged people on this earth. That's what you have to know. I know I am. If I was to go around and ask you one very, each one, directly, do you know you're chosen of God? And in his second letter, Peter emphasizes, so we won't turn to it, I remember speaking about perhaps in church one Sunday morning. You have, now listen to this, you have to make your calling and election sure. Now you've got to make that sure in your life. First chapter of his second epistle, I think it's verse 11, 12, something like that. Yeah, you've got to do that. Not say, oh, God will make your life all wonderful, but not without the close cooperation of your heart by his grace. That's all. We've been brought into a secret, you know. We've been brought into something that the world out there, and I'm speaking quite generally, knows nothing about. It's for them. But millions of them in this land have already rejected it. You'll have, if you listen closely enough onto your radio or whatever you were listening to, you'll find they're using phrases like, do you expect me to walk on the water? They're mocking Christ and Peter, who both walked on the water. You understand? Yes, Jesus did expect him to walk on the water, because he called him to do it. Don't you attempt to do that unless he has. It's the big thing, you see. Get it into your heart. This world is living in hatred of Jesus Christ. And then you read a verse, God so loved the world. Say, how did you manage it, Lord? Well, I'm God, you see. I am love. That's where your failures lie, if we have any failures. If you are love, you'll love them all. You won't want people particularly to come to love you. You've got to take it for granted that people don't. But you've got to love them. You've got to be outgoing. You've got to be the outreacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thank God I realized these things early in my life. Here's the tremendous things. One thing more I think about. It's 9 o'clock. I'll go on a little bit later if you mind. Don't mind me. As you've told you, somebody at home is going to be home by 9:05 or something. Here is the truth. You will know that when at last Moses got this disobedient people who had tasted of his grace for so long. Oh, you say they were under law. Don't you think it was the gracious thing that God gave them his law? Of course they were under grace. It's a marvellous thing that God should come down and give those two tablets of stone. It was grace indeed. So be careful when you talk about under law or under grace. Know what you're talking about. Just don't take up something like people do. It was ever so gracious. And remember, they never had Moses' law until you get to the 20th chapter of Exodus. They'd gone all that time in Egypt. And since Abraham, God hadn't given any law. And 40 years in the wilderness, pretty well. Or perhaps they hadn't gone the 40 years. But before they got the law. You don't read about the law to the 20th chapter of Exodus. All right? Just keep it clear. It had to rely on their loving to God. And God told them through Moses, he said, I haven't chosen you because you're a great people. I haven't done that. I've set my love upon you because I loved you. That's it. Now, you want more than love in your life. You say, what do you mean? He says, I'll say it in my way. You need settled love. Not love that vanishes through the years as you get divorced or whatever it is. You can be divorced by somebody else that's not a Christian, right? If you got married wrongly. But here's the great thing. God set his love. This is why I like one of Wesley's hymns. He hath loved us because he would love. But we don't sing those things now, you see. We're losing treasures just to be popular. Here is the tremendous things, beloved. Now, when Moses went up the mountain to God, when he came down first time, he hadn't got the Ten Commandments at all. Did you realize that? God never gave them to him the first time he went up the mountain. He had to come down and write the law. Did you know that? They had the book of the law that Moses wrote, and after that the scribes copied out. All right? Tremendous thing for you to keep in your mind. And when he's written all the words of the law that he at that time wrote, he never set out the priesthood or laws for that. But just the gravamen, the central thing, he wrote these things down in a book. You should read those chapters between the opening part of Exodus before you read the 20th. That's the logical way to read it. Start at the beginning. And you'll see that when they said, Moses read them out to the people, he then took a bowl of blood All right. And he sprinkled the altar that they'd made and the people with blood. Every one of them had to come under the sprinkling of the blood. Everyone. If not, they were damned. Okay. And it wasn't until the people said, everything that God has said, we will do. Now notice what they said. We'll do the things that we agree with. Everything that God says. Now you just take your life, examine your heart. Without any condemnation, God loves you. But you are to examine your heart. That's right. When they said, he then sprinkled them with blood, but not until. And he sprinkled the book. You can read this in Hebrews chapter 10. That's the book that's just gone before this one. And when they had, each one had the blood of the Lamb sprinkled on them. All right? When he'd done that, he went up the mountain to God. Just think of that. It's so wonderful, isn't it? To realize this tremendous truth. You can't fault God. You can't let, I was going to say, to use an expression from Bethnal Green, where I was born, some mangy excuse come in. You can't do that. Never make excuses when you face up to God. Never do that. Face it all. Until you face it, it doesn't get forgiven or cleansed away. You always bear that in mind. Always. So, oh, God forgives you, he forgives anything. No, he doesn't. He can do if you confess it. That's what God says. Here then is the thing. So now you're understanding what about the sprinkling of blood. I haven't covered all of it. It's right here in this second verse. Elect, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. Yeah, we will do all you say, Lord, they said. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you. Grace unto you. Tremendous, isn't it? Yeah. Praise the name of the Lord. I think he's wonderful. I also think this book's wonderful. The record of the truth by a man who knew the truth and loved the truth, like John said he did, loved the truth for the truth's sake. And if you don't love the truth, truth will forsake you. Gotta have that. Wherever you go, whoever preaches to you, you make sure that they have embraced this. Of course, you won't know the first time you've heard them speak. We can have very nice exteriors. The wonderful thing is this. Here we are. These people in that verse 2, Peter is very selective. He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. instead of getting hold of some Christian word or form of words and saying, but read exactly what the Bible says. Read it. To you. You who are, verse 2 again, elect, chosen. Like we all been through, well, not we passed now, an election. And we got the man, of course you may be a strong conservative, I don't know, but we got the man you elected. Man named Tony Blair. Perhaps you think he's wonderful. I don't. I think he's as good as we've ever had. You know what I mean? I'm not belittling him. I don't vote and I don't have anything to do with politics at all. That's the way men run the world. And I have no hand in that. But how marvellous it is. And don't be fooled by people who say you have your duty as a citizen. Or something like that. Well, dutiful people who were citizens crucified Christ. Something was wrong. I don't want to discuss that. But here is the big thing. Listen. You must come unto this great truth, beloved, and so must I. The election works in your life through the sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost has come to make me as holy as He is Himself. Do you believe that? Jesus washes you in His blood to make you as clean as Himself. It's all done that. It's quite natural, isn't it? Although it's a supernatural thing. It's instinctive in the race. God wants us to be like Him. Made in His own image. That's what it's about. I doubt whether our cribbed, cabined and confined minds can take this in. He wants to make me be ye holy. Peter comes on to this, I won't spoil it by taking on it now. Ye be holy. Holy as what? Holy as Joe or... No, as I am holy. He said, what? Yeah. We're very ready to allow things into our life. I think we can cover them by prayer. I know. Not a prayer from our lips will have any effect unless it's all according to the revelation of Scripture. You know that, don't you? So, you'll have to do what Christ said, John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures. Search them. You are to. You are to. You are to search the Scriptures. Amen. Isn't that marvellous? He'll sprinkle you with His precious blood and me. We're to walk that way. And unto these people that in his verse 2 are the elect of God and show it in our lives. Grace. and peace will be multiplied unto you. A multiplication of grace and truth in your life, and peace in your life. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what people say, what people do, what people think, though they have a right to think as well as we do. But it's this. And you begin to find that God is very specific about it. I mean, I know a funny story attached to this, but I won't tell you the funny story. But this world had a song. Years ago, it was in the wartime. Bless them all, bless them all, the long and the short and the tall. Hey? Bless them all, you know. That sort of thing. God bless everybody. Little Tim from that. Did you know he was a spiritualist that wrote that? Talk about Little Tim. Dickens, I'm talking about. Charles Dickens was a spiritist. You may not have known that, but he was. Yeah, surprising, isn't it? He could write lovely stories about the spirit of Christmas and all his business. Beloved, you're chosen of God. If you're believing at heart level, it works out in your life. That's right. None of us are to be peculiar on our own. We're to be peculiar with the peculiarity of all God's people. And that's very wonderful. So I must stop because the time's gone. And, well, I'm going to say, the Lord bless you all. You see? You've got to know this, beloved. The mark of it's got to be visible, not on your forehead, as with Cain. But I've got to be able to see it. God puts the marks on the forehead. Genesis. Right at the beginning. So that I can see it and it's visible to everybody. Lots won't understand it, but all true children of God will understand it. Amen. And God bless you. Let's just pray again, shall we? Father, thank you.